Good morning. Today's Daf and Tana. This is Daf Hey. We are starting on Dalet Amud Beis, and we're continuing our discussion regarding Haskar and She'ela. So as we approach the rain season, so we are going to do two things in terms of petitioning Hakadosh Baruch Hu for the rain. Number one is Haskara. So as we've been discussing now since the beginning of the Masechta, so Haskara is inserting the words Masha Baruch Hu Hashem into the second Baruch Hashem Nesrei. So that's not a formal request. That's not a Bakasha. It's a Haskara. It's the Mizgeret, it's the framework in which it's the we're getting around the time where we need rain. And so as part of describing the Gvur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we make a mention of rain. So that's Hazkara. And then there is a Sheila. There's a formal petitioning where now in the ninth Baruch of the Shemana Esrei, so we make the request that rain should come. V'sein tal umato levracha. So when does it start and when does it end? So the answer is really simple, and that is the rainy season. So in the rainy season, so it begins, and when the rainy season comes to an end, so it ends. That's the simplest answer, and that's the correct answer. However, it's in the details. So as we saw, now we've been discussing for the first three blah of the Masechta, we're going to be basically wrapping up this issue today, basically. And that is that there is a detailed machlokus amongst the Tanaim, when to begin and when to end. And as we've also been discussing, so they don't necessarily begin and end at the same time. There will be a couple of statements of Rabbi Yochanan today, which make it really clear that they do begin and end at the same time. But as we will see, that's one opinion, and not everyone's subscribing to that opinion. And even within Rabbi Yochanan, there's room to negotiate. So everything comes, right? The complexity of the issue just simply comes within the details. But in terms of the simple approach, excuse me, and the simple pshat of the Gemara, it's just simply a function of when we need rain, we're going to ask Hakadosh Baruch Hu for rain. It's really that simple. But, and now we get embroiled in the details. So, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, halacha ka Rav Yehuda. So, the Gemara here says that the halacha is, in fact, like Rav Yehuda. You'll recall yesterday that the sheet of Rav Yehuda needed a little bit of clarification at the end of yesterday's daf. So, we noted a stira between the Rav Yehudas, the Gemara came up with a number of responses for in total in terms of how to resolve the stira Rav Yehuda, but nevertheless, the Gemara now asserts that the halacha is in fact like Rav Yehuda. So the halacha is like Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says that when do we move over from not saying Mashivaruch HaGeshem to saying it? So that will be between Shachris and Musaf of Shmini Atzeres. So it's the eighth day now, which we are going to start our Haskara. We're going to start mentioning that Hakadosh Baruch Hu is able to provide rain. And Shmini Atzeres. Now, again, Rabbi Yehuda is following along the lines of the Shita of Rabbi Yeshua. Go back to the first Mishnah of our Masechta. Machlok is between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yehoshua. Rabbi Elazar says that he started the beginning of Sukkos, because that's the beginning of the rain season. But Rabbi Yehoshua says, no, we don't want rain at Sukkos, so therefore you're going to wait till it's over. Wait till Yontif is over. So wait till Yontif is over. And so now we know specifically, as per the Shita, Rabbi Yehuda, so we're going to be starting on Shmini Atzeres, but not Shachris of Shmini Atzeres, but Musaf of Shmini Atzeres. Okay? Good. Let's leave it like that. So Amalei Rabbi Zera LeRav Asi, Umi Amar Rav Yochanan Hachi. So now, Rav Yochanan Paskins, that we start Mashiv Aruch Amar Degeshem, Musaf of Shmini Atzeres. The Gemara says, but wait 1 second. V'atanan. Don't we have a Mishnah upcoming? This is later in our Masechta, in our Perek. So we'll start with the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, when do we start with the She'ela? Two opinions amongst the Tanaim. So Tanakama says the third day of Cheshvan. The Rebbe Gamliel says the seventh day of Mar Cheshvan. Obviously, that is well after Shmini Atzeres. So the Amar of Elazar Alach HaKarem and Gamliel. So, and Rav Elazar says, Alach is like Rebbe Gamliel. So, and Rebbe Gamliel says the seventh day of Mar Cheshvan. So now, how can Rav Yochanan make the statement that the halacha falls like Rabbi Yehuda, which is that you start Mashiv Aruch Amar Degeshem on Shmini Atzeres, which is the 21st day of Tishrei, and meanwhile, Rav Elazar says the halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel, that you start Mashiv Aruch Amar Degeshem on the seventh day of Mar Cheshvan, which is approximately 2 weeks later, a little bit more than 2 weeks later. Huh? Well, he says Allah is like Rebbe Gamliel, and Rebbe Gamliel says the seventh day. Okay. So, Amar Leh Gavar Gavar Karamis. So, the first response to the Gemara is, I'm telling what Rav Yochanan says, you're telling me what Rav Elazar says. Okay. Rav Elazar doesn't agree with Rav Yochanan. I'm not citing Rebbe Elazar, I'm citing Rav Yochanan. They're both Amoraim, they're contemporaries. So, what do you do? You're putting one Amora against another Amora? Meaning, Rav Yochanan's position. It's the position we follow. That's number one. And number two, Ibaisem Alokasha. And on top of that, we can even resolve it. Meaning, my first point is, says the Gemara, is that they're arguing. Okay, so they're arguing. And then point number two, we could resolve the two positions, Kan Lashol, Kan Laskir. Maybe there's a difference between Haskar and Sheila. Meaning Rav Yochanan was talking about when to insert Masha Verucham Rada Geshem. That's Haskara. Rav Elazar was talking about when to make the formal petition. That's Sheila. Maybe they're not concurring at the same time. So the Ha'amar Rav Yochanan Makam Shoshol Maskir. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we do have a statement to Rav Yochanan, which is that they are concurrent. So the Gemara says, how love Saka. No. Yes, he did say that, but he said that in terms of the end point. Meaning, when do I stop? So I stop at the same time. Haskara and She'ela will come to an end at the same time, and that's the beginning of Pesach. So that's when they will be ending at the same time. Although, to be really precise, it's not exactly at the same time. Meaning, the last opportunity you will have to make a She'ela will be on Erev Pesach. Right? And meanwhile, Mariv and Shachris, you're still inserting it. Oh, so, I'm sorry, I'm nitpicking over here. But the basic idea is that at the end point, so they are concurrent. So, but maybe not necessarily the beginning point. Maybe at the beginning point, they're not concurrent. And by the way, as you probably have noticed, so right now, currently, we are saying, Mashiv Ruchim Erdegashim, and we're not saying V'sein Talamat Levracha. So we know already that they're not concurrent. They're not necessarily concurrent. But, again, that's our practice, but let's just go back to the Gemara. So right now, the Gemara is saying is at the end point, they're concurrent, maybe not at the beginning. So, Lahu Lafsaka Inmar. V'ham Rav Yochanan Hizcha Lahaska Maska Lishol. Posik Milashol Posik Milahaskir. So the Gemara says, okay, that's a nice suggestion, but it's just simply not going to work because we also have another recorded statement to Rav Yochanan that says that it's concurrent both on the front end and at the back end. So now we're a little bit stuck. But again, even if we're stuck, by the way, we can always go back to the Gemara's first point, which is, Rav Yochanan, Rav Elazar don't necessarily have to agree with one another. But right now, the Gemara is trying to make shalom between the two positions. So here's what the Gemara is now going to say. Elokasha halan v'alahu. So the Gemara says, well, maybe there's a discrepancy in terms of where you live. Whether you live in Eretz Yisrael, whether you live in Bavel. What's the difference? The Gemara goes on to explain. So as far as we're concerned, so we got fruit out in the field. Meaning, we don't want it raining so soon. Meaning, sukkahs, there's still fruit out in the field. And so therefore, we still need time to collect it. So we don't want it raining right now. So we want to postpone the formal petitioning of rain. So maybe for our position over here, so we're going to be starting at some point later, the third day of Mar Cheshvan or the seventh day of Mar Cheshvan. But in Eretz Yisrael, maybe they're going to start asking right away. The Gemara says, that's not true. L'didu nami yisleo l'regalim. Well, I could think of a really good reason why they wouldn't want to start petitioning for rain right away, immediately after Sukkos, because you have Ole Regal. Not the people going up to Yerushalayim, but the people going home. Meaning, right, for all the people that were Ole Regal, so now they have to make their walk back home. And so their walk back home, they would like it to be a comfortable walk back home. It starts pouring immediately after Sukkos. That's not going to be a pleasant walk back home. So that's a consideration, and that would also the demand that we don't ask for rain right away for the Ole Regalim. So the Gemara says, Ki Kamer Rav Yochanan is Manchein Beis HaMikdash Kayam. So the Gemara says, fine. The point's really well taken. So even in Eretz Yisrael, we do want to delay the formal petitioning of rain. So, but maybe when Rav Yochanan was talking about concurrency, where She'ela and Haskara are coming at the same time, maybe that's talking about where, unfortunately, there's no longer a Beis HaMikdash. When there's no longer a Beis HaMikdash, there's no longer an Aliyah L'Regel consideration, unfortunately. So now, with that stated, so we're going to ask for rain immediately after Sukkos. And now you would have concurrence, meaning both on the front end and on the back end. In the front end, you start Mashiv Ruchim Erdei Geshem at the end of Sukkos. You're going to be starting V'Sein Talamat L'Vracha also. Now, I say at the end of Sukkos, again, to nitpick, it's not exactly concurrent, because, again, it's Yontif, there's no She'ela on Yontif. But, of course, the point is that at your first opportunity, you're going to do so. Meaning, Yisrochag, you're going to say V'sein Talamat L'Vracha. So that's true at the front end, it's true at the back end. What about Rav Elazar, who says that we should be delaying till the third day of Mar Cheshvan, the seventh day of Mar Cheshvan? So for that, that is going to be a function of being outside of Eretz Yisrael, where for other considerations, there's a need to delay. So the Gemara says, Hashta da asasachi, Hashta da asasachi, Hava halididu. Velokasha comes mentioned based on Mekdash Kayim, comes mentioned based on Mekdash Kayim. So the Gemara says, look, once we introduce this variable of Rav Yochanan's statements could be either before or after Churban Beis HaMikdash, so the truth of the matter is that now everything could even be talking about Eretz Yisrael. Meaning we don't have to make this distinction between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael, even within Eretz Yisrael, so we can make a really simple distinction. Meaning that when there's a Beis HaMikdash and people need to get home, and we want people to have a comfortable walk going home, so therefore we're going to delay the formal petition of rain. Right? And by the way, just for a moment, consider how long it's going to take them to go home. Meaning Sukkot comes to an end on the 21st day of Tishrei. Okay? So the 22nd, Shmini Atzeres. Okay, good. So the so you have one more week of Tishrei, right? Thereabouts. You have another week in Mar Cheshvan. You're talking about a 2 week walk. Okay, so just for a moment, wrapping my head around the idea that they are both going. I mean, obviously we're talking about people who are living in the furthest regions, but still. In other words, two weeks to go to Yerushalayim and 2 weeks to return to return home from Yerushalayim. You're talking about a real commitment. Okay, of course it's aliyah l'regel. In other words, and that's part of the system. But still, just to wrap our heads around what kind of commitment it is for some of the people living in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, Adkan. That brings us now to the end of the Gemara, not the end of the discussion, but the end of the Gemara regarding beginning and ending both with Haskara and She'ela. And so what we arrived at as a conclusion is that in principle, they really are concurrent, meaning that when you start Askar, you start She'ela. When you end Askar, you end She'ela. But then there are also considerations like Aliyah L'Regel, where we want people to walk home comfortably. So therefore, even though we'll start Mashiv Ruach Merda Geshem at the end of Sukkot, but in terms of a formal petition, so we will delay it. We're talking somewhere around 2 weeks so that they will walk home comfortably. Another consideration that Gemara just also introduced us to is that if you're living in Bavel and there's still harvesting that needs to be done and work in the field that needs to be done, that's another consideration in which would delay the insertion of the Saint Talamatal of Racham. In other words, the She'ela will just simply be postponed. And obviously, it's our practice here in Chutz Aretz where we start significantly later, meaning because of the seasons and because of other considerations, so we start significantly later. There's a discrepancy between when in Eretz Yisrael they start, where here in Chutz Aretz we start. Okay, and then we're not going to discuss it. I'm saying these are outcomes of the Gemara. You could also discuss what if you're living in a different hemisphere, and so for your seasons are totally overturned. So over there, is that also going to be now another consideration? Again, not for me to discuss it here in the context of the daf, but another discussion to be had as well. Okay, good. One more halachic discussion for today, and then the remainder of today is going to be Agadata. So now we know that in terms of Mashiv Ruach Merda Geshem, so when do we start it? So we know with pinpoint precision, it's going to be between Shacharis and Musaf or Shmini Atzeres. Good. That's what we learned this morning. Now with that stated, so now in Chutz Aretz, so what do we do? So we do Shmini Atzeres, and then the next day, you know what we do? Nachamol. So we do another Shmini Atzeres. Well, we call it Simchas Torah, but it's Yom Tov Sheni. So now here's the thought process of the Gemara, and the Gemara is going to arrive at a very clear conclusion. But here's the thought process of the Gemara. Look, when we went into Shmini Atzeres, so what did we do for Maariv? So we didn't insert it. What did we do for Shacharis? We didn't insert it. Okay. So now for Musaf, we're inserting it. Good. Now for Mincha, well, let's right now say that we're going to insert it. But now what happens is that the next day, what do we do? So we do a repeat performance of Shmini Atzeres. Okay, because it's Feka Diyuma. Good. So now what are you going to do that night at Maariv? Well, on one hand, we should insert it because we already started it. On the other hand, what could this night be? This night could be actually the beginning of Shmini Atzeres. Again, Feka Diyuma. So it could be the beginning of Shmini Atzeres. So an argument can be made. And when I say can, will be made. An argument can be made that really what you should do now is not say it. Because what we're doing right now is that we are, because of a suffix, redoing Shmini Atzeres. So maybe for Maariv and for Shacharis, we should omit it. Right? That's the Gemara's discussion. It's a short discussion, but that's basically what the Gemara is now going to entertain.
It's like undoing the Haskara for the previous day.
It, it, Okay, well, right. The svaras are going to be hard. I'm totally admitting that's going to be a hard svara, but the Gemara is going to entertain it. And so I'm just previewing. So we have a 2 days of Yantav because of Sveika, because of Suffolk. So what do we do as we now go and leave day one? So I'm Rav Mascha ben Musafim and Posek ben Mincha. Arvis v'shachris v'chozer ben Musafim. So Rav takes the most extreme position, and it's going to be a difficult position to defend, but, and even Rav himself, by the way, is going to end up recanting on this position. But right now, at this point in time, just to present the position, and that is, here's what we'll do. On day one, I say day one, I mean Shmini Atzeres. On the first day of Yantav, what we'll do is that we will say Masha V'Recha Merid Hagashem in Musaf. Then, not even that night, Mincha already, so it's going to be repealed. For Mincha, we won't say it. And then it goes without saying, then for Marv, we won't say it. And then Shachris next morning, we won't say it. And then tomorrow, Musaf will say it again. Okay, now, Amalu Shmuel Pokuva Omer Lola Abba. So Shmuel says, here's what you're going to say to Abba, right? When Shmuel made reference to Rav, he always described him as Abba. It's either a term of endearment or it's his actual name. Okay. And So he says, wait 1 second. So Musaf of Shmini Atzeres, he said, Masha V'Recha Merid Hagashem, which is acknowledgement that today Shmini Atzeres. And now for that Mincha that same day. So now what are you going to do? You're going to say, we should immediately take it away. You made the day Kodesh. I mean, you made the day Kodesh. Obviously, the day is already Kodesh. But by saying Masha V'Recha Merid Hagashem, we're basically saying it is Shmini Atzeres. And then for Mincha, that very Mincha, now you're not going to say it? That doesn't make sense. Ela Mashmuel Matzcha B'Musafim V'Mincha U'Posek Arvis V'Sharchus V'Chozer Matzcha B'Musafim. So Shmuel says here, I'll basically take your approach, but modified. And that is that you'll say Masha V'Recha Merid Hagashem and Musaf. You'll also say it Mincha because, again, once you started the day, B'Kedusha, you didn't... Again, when I say start the day in Kedusha, we all understand. It's Yantav. But meaning by saying it in Musaf, we're acknowledging that today is Shmini Atzeres, so therefore we're gonna finish off Mincha also saying Masha V'Recha Merid Hagashem. But now as we start day number two of Yantav, which again is possibly day number one, that's a Safek. So what we'll do now for Marv is we won't say it. For Shachris, we won't say it. And then we'll say it in Musaf of what we call Simchas Torah. So that's Shmuel's position. Rava Amar, so the Gemara says, Rav is basically going to say, both the position of Rav and the position of Shmuel are really hard to defend, and not only are they hard to defend, he simply disagrees. As we now turn to the top of Hayyamad Aleph. Rava Amar, Kevin Sheez Choshuv in a Posek. No, once you start, you don't stop. Meaning, right, the simple Svara would be, you start a Mashiv V'Recha Merid Hagashem, that's it. You continue, you're Mamshech. So a number of Amoraim, including Rav himself, ends up taking this position. So what you're going to do is you're going to count 21 days, much like we count 10 days to go from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. Now, it's a funny language, by the way. You're counting 10 days to go from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. Of course you're counting. What's the alternative? So Rashi does spend a lot of time over here trying to explain what exactly is this language of Rav that we're counting. But anyway, for our purposes right now, we're just focusing right now on the fact that Rav ends up recanting. And that is Umasko. And what you're going to do now on day 21 is you're going to start, meaning you're going to be starting Masha V'Recha Merid Hagashem. And then V'Kem Shemasko Shuvin Aposek. And so, but once you start, that's it, you don't stop. And that's the halacha. The halacha is that Musaf of Shmini Atzeres, we start Masha V'Recha Merid Hagashem, and even though that night we're going to be doing a take two on Yantav, but still, once we started, Shuvin Aposek, we don't stop. And we say Masha V'Recha Merid Hagashem. And by the way, if I can, meaning the Gemara has soundly concluded on this issue, but if I could just for a moment revisit Rav and revisit Shmuel, so I understand, meaning I know it's a hard position to defend, but I understand the underpinnings of their position. When I say I understand, meaning in my limited understanding. But I understand, because what's going to happen now is that if really the second day is really Yantav, so we should treat it like Yantav, meaning you will see this numerous times in that if for any reason the second day of Yantav is not treated like Yantav proper, so what's going to end up happening is that people are going to be lax in their observance of the second day of Yantav. Okay, and unfortunately, like we see it, but so any time there's any kind of anomaly where we're looking at it just a little bit differently, so then people get lax in their observance. So what's going to happen now is that if I move to Mariv of take two of Yontif, and we're saying Mashiv Ruchim Radageshim, so everyone's going to be looking around saying, wait a second. If it's really Yontif, if it's really Shmini Atzeres, well, you know what happens on Shmini Atzeres? We don't say Mashiv Ruchim Radageshim on the Mariv and on the Shacharis following. So on one hand, the argument that the Gemara ends up concluding with is that once you start, you don't stop. That's a conclusion. But at least to a degree, I understand what is the counter considerations in terms of why we should not say it on the night of and the morning of day two. Okay. That takes us now to the Mishnah. Ham and Aleph, we begin. Ad Masai Shoalim Esek Shamim. So good. So Ad Masai, until when? So the first Mishnah talked about when we begin. This Mishnah now is going to be talking about, okay, good, when do we stop? So it's funny because we already know the answer, but we only know the answer because the Gemara already discussed this point. But now this is a formal Mishnah presenting. So Ad Masai Shoalim Esek Shamim, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Ashi Avora Pesach. So Rabbi Yehuda says Ashi Avora Pesach. The simple interpretation, Rabbi Yehuda, is that you wait till the end of Pesach. But we already know that that's not so. We already on the first day of Pesach we stop, and the Gemara in yesterday's daf already addressed how to understand Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah. It's not easy. The Gemara had four different approaches. Okay, but right now to say over just a simple pshat of the Mishnah until the end of Pesach. But again, with the notation over here is that the simple understanding is not the accepted halacha, but fine. Rabbi Meir Omer Achi Yetzei Nisan. And Rabbi Meir says, no, you wait till the end of Nisan. You say it all the way to the end of Nisan. Shenemar, V'yor Lechem Geshem, Morel Makush Barishon. So the Pasuk in Yoel, which we're going to be spending a little bit of time this morning. So what happened is that rainfall, Morel Umakush Barishon. Okay, and in a moment we're going to clarify. Amalei Rav Nachman LeRav Yitzchak. Okay, the rest of today's daf, so you're going to see, you can count it up. So it's going to be conversations between Rav Nachman and Rav Yitzchak. Okay, and so the first conversation, the balance of the conversations are tangential, but that's what happens. In other words, once you have these kinds of statements, so the Gemara strings them together. But the first of the series is going to be connected to our Mishnah. So Amalei Rav Nachman LeRav Yitzchak Yoreh Benisan. So Yoreh is Benisan. So Yoreh B'Macheshvan Hu. So it's a funny Mishnah. So what happens over here is that our Mishnah is describing, first the Mishnah is quoting a pasuk in Yoel, describing how Moreh is coming in the first month. First month, of course, being Nisan. Now, to which Rav Nachman says to Rav Yitzchak, boy, do I not understand what's going on over here. Yoreh is the early rain. Malkush is the late rain. Now, we mentioned both of those rains in Shema, the second paragraph of Shema, daily. So, but now the Gemara is informing us that the pasuk in Yoel doesn't make any sense. Yoreh and Malkush are both coming in Nisan. That's not normal. So Gemara quotes, it's a brisa, but either way, Yoreh b'Marcheshvan, Malkush b'Nisan. The early rains, the beginning of the rains, come down in Marcheshvan, and the late rains come in Nisan. Okay, so basically, I don't understand the pasuk in Yoel describing Yoreh in Nisan. It's not so. So Amalei Hachi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Bimei Yoel ben Petuel. So Rav Yochanan taught us the following. And we know Rav Nachman was a Talmud of Rav Yochanan, and presumably Rav Yitzchak is as well. So they're quoting Rav Yochanan and says, look, you're right. Under normal circumstances, in a regular year, so the Yoreh comes down in Marcheshvan, and the Malkush comes down in Nisan. Good, that's a regular year. It happens to be that historically, during the Tkufa of the first Beis HaMikdash, during the days of the Navi Yoel, an entire Sefer is dedicated to this particular topic. The Sefer is called Yoel, right after the name of the Navi. It's a short Navi. It's found in Trei Asar, and it's a total four prakim, and a lot of locust talk in there. Okay, so what happens over there? So Niskayim Mikrozeh. So this pasuk, it actually happened, meaning it didn't rain the entire rainy season, and only in Nisan for the first time that season it rained. And that's why in that one particular historical occurrence, so it rained in Nisan. It began to rain in Nisan. Dichsiv Bey. So here now we're in the beginning of Sefer Yoel. So Yezer, I guess, Amachal Harbem. So different types of locusts, Gezem and Arbem. So Osa Shana Yatsa Adar V'lo Yaduk Shamim. So it was that year. Yoel is describing a particular year. So it's in that year. And in terms of matching it with the kings of that Tkufa, were during the days of Yehoram ben Achav. Okay, So we're somewhere in the midpoint of the first Beis Hamikdash. So what happened was, by Adar already there was no rain. So v'lo yarduk shamin. So yard lehem revi'a rishona be'echad b'nisan. And it was on the first day of Nisan that first rain came, the revi'a rishona. We're going to be hearing that term a number of times in our Masechta. Revi'a is a description of the rain. Later in the Masechta, we're going to explain why specifically that term. Okay? So, to be determined a little bit later on in the Masechta. But anyway, in that particular year, it rained for the very first time in the first day of Nisan. So, Amar lahem Navi Yisrael Tzu v'Zaru. So, the Navi says to the Jewish people, okay, go ahead and now plant. Now, as we will be learning momentarily, so this is the end of a seven-year famine. Right? It was devastating. And so, whatever seeds they had, so the Navi says, go ahead and plant them. So, Amar lo mishiyesh lo kav chitim o kavayim sarim yochlenu v'yichya o yizreinu v'yamos. So they say to the Navi, you have to be kidding. It can't be. Meaning this is the remaining food that we have. In other words, seeds either could be eaten or planted. So this is the remaining food that we have. So our options are either to eat them and live, albeit, or in other words, we don't know what we're going to do after that, but right now this is a desperate time. So either we're going to eat it, we'll live, or we'll plant and we'll die. In other words, you're really not making sense. So Amalehem afapikein tzu v'zaruna zaru. So the Navi gave him instructions, and the instructions were, here's what I'm telling you to do. You will plant it, and you will follow my instructions. And now, Salem Neis, v'nizgalahem, ma'ashe b'ksalim u'ma'ashe b'choreit namalim. And so they planted it, a miracle was performed, and they found other provisions. Where? In the walls, and the choreit namalim, and the anthills. In other words, Rashi describes over here, the rats went ahead and hid food for themselves and they were discovered. And Yatsav Zaru, Shane Vishishav Rivi, and so now on the second, third, and fourth day of Nisan, so the planting process and the entire planting process that was done, Vyardalam Rivia Shnia Bechamisha Benisan. Second rain comes on the fifth day of Nisan. Right? That first rain is basically to fertilize the ground. Second rain and to allow the planting process to begin. And so now we're on the fifth day of Nisan. And now, second rain comes. He krivu omer b'shisha asar b'nisan. So, and what happens is that, what normally is a 6-month process, the Gemara is going to say this. What normally is a 6-month process, so took 11 days. In which we went from planting to growth in 11 days. Obviously a nes. Nimzeis tvuad hagedela b'shisha chadash, not to miss a point of the Gemara, and they brought the carbon omer, meaning we know that the carbon omer is going to be matir, the grains that grew over the course of this year. Normally, the planting is done in Mar Cheshvan, and it's a 6-month process, and over here, it was an 11-day process. And they did bring the carbon omer on the second day of Pesach. On the second day of Pesach, that's when you bring the omer. That's when you typically bring the omer. So tvua gedela b'shisha chadashim gedela ba'acharas hayom, and now the growth occurred over 11 days. Nimsa omer hakrei mitvua shoshisha chadashim krav mitvua shacharas hayom, and even though normally it takes 6 months for tvua to grow and be harvested, over here 11 days. Val osa adoru omer, and so now we're going to be reading a pasuk in Tehillim. We say this pasuk on Shabbos right before benching. So hazar b'dima brina yiksaru halachi elachuvach onose meshech hazaro. So now we understand that pasuk that was said by David HaMelech is specific to that particular tkufa. It was a nevuah for that particular tkufa. They planted crying, meaning, and now that we know the backstory, so now we understand, it's because they really did not think that they were gonna survive in order to see the growth. And Barina Yiksaru, but when they harvested with joy. Again, a significant miracle in which it grew within 11 days. So my halach yelech uvacho, no se meshech. Now, as Rashi points out over here, the second pasuk becomes redundant because in the first pasuk we already got the basic idea that they planted while crying and they harvested with joy. And now the second pasuk, what's it coming to teach me? So I'm Rav Yehuda, shur kishu choresh olech uvoche. So it's not just a description of the people crying, but animals crying as well. Okay, now this is we're animating, meaning the animals, to the best of my knowledge, they don't cry. But the basic idea is that it was such a sad time that even the animals cried. So uvechazir so chaziz minatelam. And so over here the Gemara gives powerful imagery where basically the animals are plowing in one direction, and as they're going back in the other direction, already growth has occurred. So the chaziz, that's the early growth of the grains in which the animals now can eat from. Vizehu bo yavo berina. Okay, and that's the bo yavo berina, right? They go in one direction, and while they're going in the other direction, already they're starting to eat. So my no se alu mosav. Okay, and so now as long as we're here, the Gemara now wants to give pshat in the next part of the pasuk. So I'm Rav Chisav, I'm Rav Masisatana, Kanezer Shibol Zarsayim. The length of the harvest, the length of the grains. So the kind of the actual reed itself was a zeres, okay, the span of a span of when your hands stretched out from your thumb to your pinky. The shibos itself, that's the actual grains, that's the ears. So that was our assignment, was two zerets. Okay. And Rashi points out that's an unusual length, meaning aside from the fact that it grew miraculously within 11 days, it also, the length was greater than normal. Okay, adkan. All this was basically to get our heads around the idea that the Pasuk in Yol describes the Yara coming in Nisan, and that's not normal, and the Gemara acknowledges, you're right, that's not normal. So, but nevertheless, so for 1 year, historically, it happened that the early grains came in Nisan, and so therefore, it is at least one time historically appropriate to describe how the Yara comes in the month of Nisan. We know the Pshat in Yoel, and that takes us all the way back to the Mishnah, where the Mishnah that brings down the Shita Reb Meir is that Mashiv Arichem Erev Geshem is still appropriate throughout the entire month of Nisan. Okay. Even though, by the way, even in that historical account, right, we only have it recorded that it rained right up to Pesach. Okay, but whatever. His proof is that Nisan at least is a time where rain could potentially come. Amar le Rav Nachman le Rabbi Yitzchak. So now we can record this as number two. Again, a series of conversations. Today's daf is between Rav Nachman and Rav Yitzchak. So here we go now with a second comment. My dichsib ki kara sham l'ra'a v'gamba alar sheva shanim. So the pasuk in Malachim Beis describing this 7 year famine. So b'hanach sheva shanim my achol. Now for 7 years where there is no growth. So what are they eating for those 7 years? So a devastating description. So Amalei Hachi Am Rav Yochanan. So a tradition going back to Rav Yochanan. Again, the Talmidim of Rav Yochanan now are quoting the Rebbe. So Shana Rishana Achlu Ma Shebebatim. For the first year, they ate that which is in their house. Shnia Achlu Ma Shebesados. Year number two of the famine, they ate whatever was left in the fields. Shlishi Basa Behema Torah. So in year number three, where there was no vegetation, so a lot of meat, kosher meat. Revius Basa Behema Tamea. In year number four, ran out of kosher meat, they went to non-kosher meat. Chamishas Basar Shkatim V'Ramasim. Year number five, no longer meat available, so they ate bugs, insects, grasshoppers. Shishis Basar B'nehem V'Noseihem. In year number six, the flesh of their children. Shvias Basar Zero Aseihem. And in year number seven, they ate their own flesh. Alakai Mashanemer Ish Basar Zero Yochelu. And that's the pasuk in Yeshayahu giving such a description. And in that 7 year famine, unfortunately, that pasuk was manifest. Again, now this is going to be comment number three in a series of discussions between Rav Nachman and Rav Yitzchak. The pasuk says in Hoshea Bekir Becha Kadosh Velo Avo Beir. So the pasuk seems to be a little bit off. So you are holy. And velo avo be'ir. Now you can read it rhetorically, and I won't come into the city. So the mishum de'bikir b'cha kadosh lo avir be'ir. But the Gemara right now assumes that no, don't read it rhetorically. Meaning, and then of course it doesn't make sense, right? You're a holy people, and I'm not coming in. What does that mean? So Amalei Hachem Rav Yochanan. Again, they're quoting Rav Yochanan, who has a mesora. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu avo b'Yerushalayim Shamala ashi avo liYerushalayim Shamata. So I won't go into Yerushalayim Shamala until I go into Yerushalayim Shamata. So in other words, there are two Yerushalayims. There's one, the physical, and then there's the metaphysical. And so Kadosh Baruch Hu says that when the physical is settled, the metaphysical also is going to be settled as well. Now again, can I explain this any better? So unfortunately, no, I can't. So I'm extraordinarily limited in understanding this, but I understand, right? The Gemara speaks about this idea a couple of occasions. So this idea of that there's a parallel between what goes on over here physically and what happens metaphysically. But after that, okay, I'm extraordinarily limited in my understanding. So the Gemara just first of all establishes, is there such a thing? The Gemara says, yeah, there is. In Dechsev, Yushlaim Habanuya, Ki'ir Shechuber LaYachdav. So, Pasuk in Tehillim, and we are talking about the unification. So what unification are we talking about? Meaning, it's one city. How are we unifying a city? Well, unfortunately, nowadays, it takes on a whole new meaning. But in other words, but when the unity of Yerushalayim was never contested, that was never an issue. So now, what does it mean that we're unifying the city? So the Gemara says that the unification is that there are two Yerushalayims. There's Yerushalayim Shalmata and there's Yerushalayim Shamala. And so when they become unified, so this pasuk speaks to the idea of there being a physical and a metaphysical Yerushalayim. Next, Amalei Rav Nachman LeRav Yitzchak. So where are we? Right, one, two, three. This is our fourth. So Amalei Rav Nachman LeRav Yitzchak. My dichsiv avachaz yivar v'yichasu musar havalim eitzu. Okay, and now as I pointed out in the beginning, we're gonna go off course over here. But again, we have a number of these conversations between these two particular Talmidim or Rav Yochanan. And so the Gemara now is going to just string them together. So we start with a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Uve achas. Now, in one sin, so Yivari v'yichasu musar havalam eitzu. And we try to give them musar, and as Rashi points out over here, it's like talking to a tree. In other words, they're violating a particular sin. We're trying to rebuke, we're trying to reprimand, and it's like talking to a tree. So Amar Leih Hacham Rav Yochanan. But, okay, good. But beyond the simple pshat of the pasuk, so the Gemara now quotes the Amoraim. These Amoraim quote Rav Yochanan, and that is Achas Hishe Mevaris Rishayim Begehenim. So there is one sin, meaning that's the beginning of that pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Uve Achas. So for there's one sin, the people are going to burn in Gehenim. So Mahi Avodah Zarah, and that one sin, of course, is Avodah Zarah. The Ksiv Hacha Musar Havalim Eitzu, and the Gemara says, and look, we'll connect because in this pasuk in Yirmiyahu, so the language that's used is Musar Havalim. And meanwhile, Ksiv Hasam, and we have another pasuk, also happens to be in Yirmiyahu, also happens to be in the same parak, Hevel Hema Maaseh Tatuim. And the Maaseh Tatuim is a reference to Avodah Zarah. Okay. Amle Rav Nachman Le Yirsak Mai Dichsev. Okay, another one, number five for today. Kishtaim Ra'os Asa Ami, so my nation did Shtaim. So I know in the previous pasuk in Yirmiyahu, which was the 10th parak, so we said Ba'achas. And over here, we're talking about Shtaim. So the Gemara says now, the Gemara doesn't say this, but if we're talking about, right, the big one, so then Avodah Zarah. But now we're talking about two, so that means that it's multiple. But the Gemara says, once we're talking about multiple, so why stop at two? So the Gemara says, and that's exactly the Gemara's question. So, Kishtaim Rosasa, Ami. So Tartanhu, Dahavu, Esrin, V'arba. So the Gemara says, what do you mean two? 22. Now, the number 22 is a little bit strange. Now, I say 22, I'm looking at the side girsa, right? Rashi's girsa, and it happens to be our girsa as well, that's 24, right? The Rashi cites the pasuk in Yecheskel in the 22nd parak, talking about 24 Averus. Rashi offers another interpretation, maybe we're talking about the 24 Sifrei Tanakh. Either way, the point is that they're a train wreck. And so when you're talking about two Averus, so why two Averus? Meaning, literally throw the book at them, right? In other words, they're just a total train wreck in terms of their ability to follow basic halacha. So Amalei Hachem Rav Yochanan, and again, so they're asking each other. They said, we have a following tradition from Rav Yochanan. Achas shehi shkula kishtayim. Really, it's referring to the big one, meaning Avodah Zarah, and ishkula kishtayim. It's like two. What does that mean? It's like two. So as we now turn to the top of Ham and Bays, Umayniu Avodah Zarah. So it's a reference to Avodah Zarah. So how is it two now? So Dichsif. So for that, we're going to quote another pasuk in that same pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Ki Shtayim Rausa Saimi Osa Ozvu Makor Maim Chayim Lachsov Lahem Be'eros Nishbarim. So they forsake me. Right? The Makor Maim Chayim. Right? I'm the source of life. And Uksiv Bahu. Okay, but how does the one become two? So the Gemara goes on to explain. Again, just we're reading on the Psukim over there in Yirmiyahu. Ki avru ye kitiyim v'ra'u v'kedar shachu v'izbarnu ma'od. So Haheimar Goy Elokim Vehemalo Elokim Vami Hemark Vodo Below Yo Il. So we're describing two types of idolatry in this pasuk. What are the two types of idolatry? Tana, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. Kusim Ovdim Laish. So as far as the Kusim are concerned, so they were fire worshippers, right? And this goes back way back historically, meaning Nimrod was the head of Ur Kasdim, right? And that's Kusa, meaning that's Bavel. So they were fire worshippers. So that's old school for them. That's old school idolatry. And Kadraim or Vim Lamayim. Okay, I can't help with the Kadraim. I don't know. I've no helpful information. But anyway, the Kadraim were worshippers of water. And so you had fire worshippers, you had water worshippers. The Alpha Pishionim Shamayim Mechabim Mesesh, Loi Mira Eloheim. The Amihe Vir Kvodi Below Yawil. And meanwhile, look at the things they're worshiping, right? They're worshiping fire. And meanwhile, water puts out fire. And so they know that whatever they're worshiping is not omnipotent. They know that. And so logically, it doesn't make any sense. And meanwhile, they still didn't reject their Avodah Zarah. And they didn't reject their Avodah Zarah. And they didn't, and something that's not going to even help them, can't even help themselves. And okay, that's the two. So the two that's making reference to are two types of Avodah Zarah. Okay. Number six. So Shmuel is really old, right? The description now of Shmuel, unfortunately, as he's approaching his death, and the Navi describes, this is obviously in Shmuel Aleph, the eighth parak, so it describes Shmuel being really old. Now, Shmuel kulehai bahai bar nun beis hava. So the Amramar meis ben nun beis shana zeu misasu shoshmuel ramasi. So he's not old. He's 52 years of age. Okay, so. And even back then, 52 was not old. Okay. So he was 52 years of age. And Rashi over here cites a number of midrashim that inform us that how we know he was 52 years of age. Okay, there are sources that get us there. In other words, the pasuk itself doesn't say it. Anyway, we have a Masorah. Our Masorah is that he was 52 years of age. So, and it describes, and the Navi describes him as being really old. So, Amalei Hachem Rav Yochanan. So once again, right, it's stylistically the Gemara today is one thread, and that is so. Now you have the Talmidim Rav Nachman and Rav Yitzchak, so wondering, and now they're going to quote Rav Yochanan. So this is what Rav Yochanan said: Zikna Kafza Alav. So what happened is that at 52 years of age, so he aged. In other words, and Rashi says over here he basically turned white. Right, his hair, all of his hair turned white. So good. So that's the intent of the pasuk. Is that he accelerated the aging process at 52. Okay, and now a little bit more of the backstory. So why was his age accelerated? So the Kadosh Baruch Hu said, I regret having Shaul becoming the king. And this obviously goes back to the numerous mistakes that were made by Shaul HaMelech. So I'm alafan ribon shal olam, shakaltani kemoshev aaron. So Shmuel says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look, as far as my place is concerned, so I'm right up there with Moshe and Aaron. So, Dichsiv Moshe Aaron v'chonav v'shmuel b'kori shmo. So, he quotes a pasuk. Now, granted, he's quoting a pasuk in Tehillim. David HaMelech wasn't born yet. In other words, the pasuk in Tehillim is Nevuah. So, the fact that it's commenting on something that happened historically earlier, that's not a big deal. So so in the pasuk that we're all familiar with, it's part of Kabbalah Shabbos. So Moshe Aaron bechonav Shmuel bekari Shmo. So Shmuel's in the same pasuk with Moshe and Aaron. So ma Moshe Aaron lo bitlo maaseh yadayim bechayim afani lo yidbatel maaseh yaday bechayay. So he says Moshe and Aaron. So anything that they created, so they didn't see it go in their lifetime. So in other words, I basically made Shaul, and now I'm gonna see him go in my lifetime. Like it doesn't seem right. So I'm a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hechi Avid. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, now I'm basically stuck. I'm in a bad spot right now. Because on one hand, I'm done with Shaul. Okay. On the other hand, Shmuel's begging me not to kill Shaul. So I'm in a bad spot. So Lema Shaul lo kashavik, Shmuel. So what I want to do really is I want to terminate Shaul. But Shmuel won't let me do it. And Lema Shmuel. So now the alternative, of course, is okay. So I'll terminate Shmuel. So Adazutar, but he's really young right now, In other words, he's 52 years of age. And Miranane Abasre. And then the comment section. Right? The critics. So people are gonna say and they're gonna say, oh, Shmuel died, he's so young, it must have been that he's not as saintly as he professed to be, or as we thought he was. Okay. So lo le mashav, lo le mashmol. So and now what? Now what? So now I can't do either. So the Gemara says, "Kvar yigia machus David." So, but meanwhile, it's David's turn to become the king, and we know. I mean, I say we know. The Gemara says this on a couple of occasions. We saw this all the way back in the beginning of Shas and Brachos. Ein machus nogas bechaverta afilu kamal anima. Well, once it's a king's time to reign, that's it. It's his time to reign, and not for a second is it going to be delayed. Okay, so that's so Hakadosh Baruch Hu now is in a real conundrum. So Amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu akpitz alav zikna. So now the Gemara says, now that we have that backstory, so now we understand. That's why Shmuel's age now accelerated. And so now we're going to go on in Shmuel Aleph, or in the 22nd perek. So Shaul is sitting begiva underneath the Eshel in Ramah. What does Givah and Ramah have to do with one another? So what caused Shaul to go an additional 2.5 years? So tefillah so Shmuel Ramasi. So that was the tefillah of Shmuel Ramasi. Rashi takes a considerable amount of time to go over the dating over here. I'm gonna for our purposes of the daf, I'm gonna bypass. But anyway, basically, Shaul got an extension of 2.5 years because of Shmuel. So umimid chegavre mikamegavre. So the Gemara says, really? So that means to say that one person is going to get pushed off for another, meaning Shmuel, unfortunately, is going to be terminated because Devin HaMelech has to rule. So the Gemara says, yeah, in. Damar Shmuel bar Nechmeni, Amrab Yonasan, Ma'idichsev, Alkein Chatzavti b'Nevim, Haragtim b'Amri fi, b'Imri fi. So Haragtim b'Imri fi. B'Ma'asem lo Ne'amar, it doesn't say b'Ma'asem with their actions, Ela b'Imri fi. In other words, based on my say-so. So I'm a midchi gavra mikame gavra. Yeah. That's part of the system. It's part of what happens. Shmuel is going to unfortunately die untimely, so that David HaMelech can reign. Okay, we'll do just a little bit more, but really this is we're going to stop somewhat awkwardly. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Yosef Bisu Daise. Okay, once again we're dealing with our principal Amoraim this morning of Rav Nachman and Rav Yitzchak. So they were sitting at a meal. Amrlei, Rav Nachman, Rav Yisrael, Lema Mar Milsa. So he says, okay, no, let me hear something. Now, we just spent an entire daf where they've been discoursing, but a little bit more. So Amrlei, Hachem Rav Yochanan. So he says, okay, this is what I heard. B'shem Rav Yochanan. Eim Asichim B'Seuda. Shem Yaktim Kan Leveshet. You're not allowed to talk in the middle of a meal. So you talk in the middle of the meal, so what's going to end up happening is you're going to end up choking. So, and Elita Sakana. So basically, can you say something? And the answer was, we're in the middle of the meal right now. So here, I have something smart to say. We don't talk. We don't talk in the middle of the meal. It will be a choking hazard. Right? Rashi over here, you can see it inside. I'm not going to read it. Rashi over here talks about the epiglottis, and what ends up happening is that if you're talking, so therefore it's going to be open, and then the food's going to go down the windpipe, not the esophagus. Good. Okay. So Basu de Sa'od. And after the meal has arrived at a conclusion, Amalei Hachem Rav Yochanan, Yaakov Avinu Lameis. Okay, so now the meal's over, and now they're ready for going over that which was said in Rav Yochanan. So he unloaded with a big statement by Rav Yochanan, and that is Yaakov Avinu did not die. So Amalei Vechi Bechtei Sifto Savdayana Vechantu Chantaya Vekavru Kavraya. So, and the response is, come on. Come on. That can't be. They eulogized, they embalmed, they buried him. What are you talking about? So Amalei Mikrani Dare Shenemar. So the response is, look, I know, I'm fully aware of the Pesukim, but I also have a Pesuk. I have a Pesuk in Yirmiyahu. The Pesuk says, V'alta tirav di Yaakov, Num Hashem, V'al techas Yisrael, ki inini moshiach mirachok ve'zarach me'er shavim. Good, so the Pesuk in Yirmiyahu and the Gemara now darshans, Mekish hula zaro. A hekesh in the pasuk Yaakov and his descendants. Mazaro bechayim, afu bechayim. So just like his descendants are alive, so too he's alive as well. Okay, Adkan. We're going to pause over here. That's a statement. We'll pause over here. Let's quickly recap our day today. First part of today, so we went over the various statements of Rav Yochanan regarding when do you start and stop, both the Haskara and the She'ela. And after a little bit of discussion in the Gemara, the conclusion was is that the stopping point, Haskara and She'ela, stop at Pesach and start at the starting point. So for sure the Haskara begins at on Shmini Atzeres, like Rabbi Yehuda, but in terms of the She'ela, so there are considerations. And so it may start at the point of She'ela, but there are considerations like Aliyah LeRegel, the people coming home from Yerushalayim after having gone to Yerushalayim for Sukkos, agricultural considerations as well. Okay, so the beginning of the formal petition of Saint Talamat Levracha, the ninth Bracha Shmona Esrei, so it may not begin concurrently with Mashiv Ruch HaMer Degeshem, which for sure is going to begin on Shmini Atzeres. Good. And the other halachic discussion that we had this morning is, so what do we do now with Sfeika D'Yuma? Meaning once we have a two-day Yontif, so we started our Mashiv Ruch HaMer Degeshem on Shmini Atzeres. But then when we go to the next day, which is a take two of Yontif, so what should we do? And the Gemara's conclusion is, a discussion, but the Gemara's conclusion is, once you start, you don't stop. You start a Mashiv Ruch HaMer Degeshem, so that's it, you continue, even through Mincha, even through Maariv and Shacharis of day number two. Okay. Ad Masai, the Mishnah on Hey Amud Aleph. When do we conclude Mashiv Ruch HaMer Degeshem? So in the Mishnah, Machlok is between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda says, Ad She'avor Pesach. Rabbi Meir says, until all the way to the end of Nisan. And again, the simple reading of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah is not the Gemara's conclusion from yesterday's daf. Fine. So the and the Gemara's discussion, Yoreh coming down in Nisan. Yoreh is the first rain. Yoreh comes in Mar Cheshvan, not Nisan. That's six months later. So what's going on over there? And meanwhile, Rabbi Meir of our Mishnah says that because of that pasuk in Yoel describing Yoreh coming down in Nisan, so therefore it's appropriate to say Mashiv Ruch HaMer Degeshem even in the month of Nisan, throughout the month of Nisan. So what are we talking about? So this started a lengthy discussion which took up the rest of today's daf between Rav Nachman and Rav Yitzchak. And the first point of discussion, the first order of business is the pasuk in Yoel describing Yoreh coming down in Nisan. So, yes, it's unusual. It is an anomaly, but it did happen. It happened one year historically during Bais Rishon after a severe famine, so where they had just a little bit of seeds that were left, and so the instructions by the Navi Yoel was to plant them in the beginning of the month of Nisan. And what happened miraculously, a number of miracles occurred. Number one, the first rains actually came in Nisan on the fifth day of Nisan. Sorry, the first rains came on the first day of Nisan. The second rains came on the fifth day of Nisan, and then it went from seed to harvesting 11 days later, where they were able to offer the Karban Omer. Okay, so that occurred during the Tkufa of Yoel, and Yehoram ben Achav was the king at the time. Good, and from there, multiple other conversations that occurred between Rav Nachman and Rav Yitzchak, and all of them ended up with a comment that was said by their Rebbe Yochanan. Okay, we'll stop here.